And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, saying, "Come and see."
Noise of Thunder Radio with Christian J. Pinto.
Okay, praise the Lord, you guys, and welcome. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Today on the show, we are going to talk about psychological warfare. Psychological warfare. If you study psychological warfare in the history of the modern world, especially, even though I'm sure you could trace this back to the ancient world as well. But if you study the history of psychological warfare, as I've observed it, in all the different things that I've looked into for our films and for this radio program, it appears, I've come to believe, that psychological warfare is probably the most lethal weapon that is at work in the world today. It's the most lethal weapon. It's worse than an atomic bomb, in my opinion, because it can cripple an entire country and keep them from doing what they need to do to defend themselves. This is by and large what is affecting Western civilization. Psychological warfare and brainwashing. The suicide mentality, as it's sometimes been called, has been entered in systematically into the schools and colleges and universities throughout the United Kingdom, throughout Western Europe. Even now, here in the United States, a very similar process has been ongoing for decades. An anti-American network of lies and misinformation, things quoted out of context, etc., to demoralize the American people and to convince them that the country's not really worth preserving, so that they'll just give up and hand the country over to communists and socialists. In fact, the Webster's Dictionary definition of psychological warfare is, quote, things that are done to make someone, such as an enemy or opponent, become less confident or to feel hopeless, afraid, etc. Then they use it in a sentence, quote, the army used radio broadcasts into enemy territory as a form of psychological warfare. And this was done throughout World War II. It was done in Vietnam. In fact, very interesting, there is, if you go and you study the Vietnam War, there's a number of articles on this, but the Soviet Union was really backing communism in Vietnam. And they spent more money, they spent like $1 billion on propaganda, on anti-war propaganda here in the United States and elsewhere, to turn the hearts of the American people against the war, to believe that the war was wrong, it was immoral, it was, America shouldn't be there, and on all the stuff with Jane Fonda and the leftist news media that tried to make American soldiers look like murderers and thugs and all this other kind of stuff, while justifying the communists, etc. It just absolutely dreadful. In fact, there's an article online called How the Soviet Union Helped Shape the Modern Peace Movement. Of course, what they mean by that is not really modern peace, but rather modern anti-war. And at one point, the article says, quote, one of the biggest untold psy operations in history was one of the Soviet Union's against the USA during the Cold War era. In one of the most devious war tactics ever conceived, Russia created, founded, and funded various peace and anti-war movements on American and foreign soil throughout the 50s, especially the 60s and 70s, and well into the 80s. America's war efforts having stopped Nazi as well as communist world expansion, they needed to come up with something new to beat their enemy. Outside of the works of scholars and historians, you will not hear much about this in mainstream media, because the idea of covert mass manipulation on such a grand scale is not taken well among the general public, especially when it addresses something as idealistic and nice-looking as the peace movement. Okay, and then it goes on to say the Soviet Union wisely spent more money on funding of U.S. anti-war movements during the Vietnam War than on funding and arming the Viet Cong forces. And that's a quote from Stanislav Lunev, highest-ranking GRU officer, to defect from the USSR. And then the article goes on to talk about the KGB influence of the so-called peace movement, where, you know, it's very, very interesting. I've studied this on and off for years. I've come to believe that, I mean, and you realize, brethren, this is the reason why we lost the war in Vietnam. This is the reason why. I saw a documentary some time ago, and it had to do with the war in Vietnam, and they were talking about how, I mean, we were there for more than a decade. And when the war finally came to an end and we were ready to withdraw, basically to admit defeat, pack up and go home, the American leaders went in and they sat down with a communist commander and they said to him, reportedly, they said, you know, you never beat us on the battlefield. We won every battle. And he said, I know. And he said, I also know it doesn't matter. And what a powerful lesson. You can win every battle and still lose the war. I mean, it's almost unheard of in the pages of history, but it shows the power of psychological warfare, because that is what defeated America in Vietnam. What defeated the United States was not guns, it was not bombs, it was not soldiers, it was psychological brainwashing. It was a systematic demoralization of America, America's interests there within the homeland, having Americans who should have been loyal to the country instead running around and declaring that the country was evil, what we were doing was wrong, we were an immoral country, the soldiers should be ashamed, America should be ashamed, and on and on and on. And basically, the will to fight and win was taken away, was destroyed, trampled on. Now, should we have won the Vietnam War? Should we have defeated communism there and made sure that a democratic system of freedom was established? Well, if we had done that, then Vietnam might have ended up like Germany after Nazism, or like Japan after imperialism, or like South Korea when we drove the communists out of South Korea. South Korea went on, even though it's not as much talked about as Germany and Japan, but South Korea went on to become a very successful country and still is today. Very successful. They've got the key elements, I mean, just in terms of economy, education, law and order, things like that, that countries want so that they can thrive and prosper. But North Korea was a different situation. In North Korea, we had control of North Korea, but then China came in with its soldiers and pushed our guys back, and then the manipulative politics of America would not allow General MacArthur to go back and reclaim that territory. And that's when MacArthur, you know, said famously, this isn't war, it's half war. And he recognized there were enemies working within our country that were preventing him from doing what you would do to win a war. And again, all of that plays into psychological warfare. But back during the golden age of Hollywood, the film was made, The Manchurian Candidate, the original Manchurian Candidate, which in my opinion is much better than the one Hollywood made later on. The original is much more startling if you watch it with Frank Sinatra. It's an older black and white movie, which I highly recommend. If you've never seen it, you really should watch that film, because there's a scene that I think is very telling where you have these American soldiers and they are sitting in a room and they're surrounded by all of these communist leaders. There's like a whole audience of communist leaders that are sitting around them. And they're talking to these American soldiers, and the American soldiers look like they're off in La La Land somewhere. And they keep going back and forth, and they're showing you what reality looks like to these soldiers versus what's really going on around them. And the soldiers think they're at some kind of garden party with these older ladies, you know, in their dresses with their purses and their hats and, you know, flowers and this kind of thing. And they're all sitting there talking about, you know, the kind of thing that some ladies gathering would talk about. But the reality is they're not sitting at a girly little ladies gathering. What they're doing, they're being surrounded by all these communists. So they have a completely false understanding of reality through systematic brainwashing. Their understanding of reality is completely false. And when you see it and you watch what's going on in this film, I mean, it is a picture of what is happening in our country and the Western world today. It's a bit, we're surrounded by enemies. And we're told that somehow or other these enemies are harmless. They're our friends. It's only bigotry and xenophobia and all this other kind of stuff that compels anybody to be concerned about our country being invaded by illegals and by people who hate us and want to kill us, etc. Psychological warfare. You've got right now with the education system. There is a great website called StopK12Indoctrination.org, and they've got a series of articles for those who are concerned about what's going on in the education system. Of course, we've talked about this with the Rees Committee going back to the 1950s, and the fact that back then, this is Congress now, U.S. Congress discovered through the Rees Committee that these tax-exempt foundations, the Rockefeller, Ford, Guggenheim, and Carnegie, that they all developed programs back in the 1920s to subvert our education system and rewrite the history books to get us away from our Judeo-Christian foundation and lead the national worldview into more of a socialist and communist way of thinking. This was deliberately done. And it was discovered, and it was documented, and it's been reported for years. But for whatever reason, nobody has acted upon this information. A lot of people know about it, but nobody's acted upon it and said, hey, we need to get these communists and these socialists out of our classroom. And now, of course, what they're doing is they're bringing in the Muslims. They're bringing in Islam. And that's one of the things that is talked about on this website, StopK12Indoctrination.org. Their top story, CARE, Council for American Islamic Relations, CARE infiltrates public schools. And then it shows a whole committee on CARE. One of them is Linda Sarsour, who openly advocates for Sharia law in the United States. There are people who believe that where Sharia law is concerned in America, there are people who believe, brethren, that it's simply a matter of time before that agenda advances in our country. We need to pray that God will give us the wisdom and grace to prevent that from happening. All right, let's go to our commercial break. We will talk more when we come back right after this.
John Wycliffe, William Tyndale, and Martin Luther is a must-see for any follower of Christ. Filled with rich visual graphics and dramatic reenactments, A Lamp in the Dark is an epic documentary, a powerful witnessing tool for church and Bible study groups around the world. Share with your church, your family, and friends the untold history of the Bible today.
Hello, I'm Brandon House. In April of 2013, I found a Mountain House distributor and ordered some freeze-dried food for my family because I had become concerned about what was happening in America, our lack of national security, the threat to our power grid. I also knew, living in Memphis on the New Madrin Fault, that there is the possibility of an earthquake. I also know that ice storms can cause the power to go out here, not to mention the threat of terrorism. There were many reasons. So I contacted the company Mountain House and asked if I could become a distributor of their product. I had some of their food when I was in high school on a couple camping trips, and it's really good. But now Worldview Weekend has been approved to be a distributor for Mountain House. And if you're interested, you can now go into the bookstore at worldviewweekend.com/bookstore and check out some of the freeze-dried food that you can order. We have one pack that's available. It's a bucket of food, breakfast, lunch, and dinner for 14 days for one person. Figure out how many are in your family. Figure out how many days you want to have food ready to be put into boiling hot water and have a good meal, and make your order. Now, again, you can order it from someone else, but if you order it from Worldview Weekend, we're not going to charge any shipping and handling. Free shipping and handling. Secondly, it's another way for us to generate revenue to underwrite the expenses of running Worldview Weekend, our radio and television ministry, and our free conference ministry. For more details, just simply visit our bookstore, worldviewweekend.com/bookstore, worldviewweekend.com/bookstore.
Noise of Thunder Radio.
Okay, we are back. Praise the Lord, you guys. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Thanks for staying with the show today. Today we're talking about psychological warfare. You know, you can't help but think about the psychology of creating hysteria, like what we're watching right now with the Judge Kavanaugh ordeal, this ongoing drama that's unfolding now, where you've got some woman who, after more than 30 years, is making these claims about Judge Kavanaugh, Dr. Christine Blasey Ford, has made claims that Kavanaugh, back when he was 17 years old, had apparently done something, did not actually rape her, but supposedly assaulted her in an attempted rape episode. That's the claim. Now, the remarkable thing is, throughout his adult life, Brett Kavanaugh hasn't done anything like this. I mean, there's no other reports of any kind of behavior like this from him throughout his adult life, throughout his career, anything like that. He doesn't have a pattern of behavior with this, which you usually find, like when all the stuff came out on Harvey Weinstein, you just had all of these women that came out and they had similar testimonies. You don't have anything like that with Judge Kavanaugh. That's why this whole thing is very, very strange. It's been more than 30 years and she's never said a word. She's never had to come out and make a statement. It is reported that she is rabidly anti-Trump, against President Trump. And of course, like a lot of your feminist women, just fanatical over things like Roe v. Wade. That is almost certain. And that's the big concern, that on the left, they're concerned that if Judge Kavanaugh is confirmed on the Supreme Court, that Roe v. Wade will be overturned. And so there's all of this hysteria going on. But I watched the interview with Judge Kavanaugh. He's being interviewed on Fox with Martha McCallum. And you could see he was visibly disturbed by what's going on, all of these accusations against him. He really does appear to be a man, because he revealed in the interview that at the time that this, you know, that he knew this woman, he was a virgin, and that he continued to be a virgin for many years after he got out of college and so on. So he, you know, the idea that he was running around assaulting women, it just seems even that much more unlikely. And of course, I was thinking earlier today about this, and I thought, you know, we certainly believe that if women suffer something like this, they ought to be able to speak out about it. But at the same time, the argument from the left that you should always believe the accuser, that you should always believe them, no matter what. Of course, they don't practice that at all, because if they did, then they would believe the accusations against Bill Clinton that have been made by a number of women, but they didn't believe those. We also have in the Bible the story of Joseph, and Joseph being falsely accused by Potiphar's wife of attempted rape, which he was not guilty of. He ends up being thrown in prison as a result. Joseph does. So we know from the scripture that it's entirely possible that a woman can make a false accusation. That's entirely possible. But this whole situation, there's all of this hysteria, and you're watching the people on the news get on the news, and the politicians and the journalists, and they're all saying, we have no doubt that Dr. Christine Ford's testimony is true. She's a credible witness. What she's saying is true, and on and on and on. And of course, most of these people don't know her. They can't possibly know whether or not this is true. It's not really a logical and assertion that she's making. And now President Trump has allowed them to delay the vote on Kavanaugh for another week so that the FBI can investigate. So apparently the FBI is conducting an investigation, although everybody keeps saying, well, what are they going to investigate? And now you have reports of Dr. Christine Blasey Ford. Here's one from Natural News, also documented by InfoWars. And it says, Kavanaugh accuser Christine Blasey Ford ran mass hypnotic inductions of psychiatric subjects as part of mind control research funded by foundation linked to computational psychosomatics neurohijacking. I mean, that's kind of a complicated headline, there's no doubt. But now apparently it is being reported that she was involved in some kind of mind control programs and has connections with the CIA. And you can find that again on Natural News. You can find it on InfoWars. InfoWars is reporting that Christine Blasey Ford has connections to CIA deep state. Here's another headline. Christine Blasey Ford ran literal CIA mind control program at Stanford. Now, again, these are headlines that are coming out. The CIA and mind control. While you have conspiracy theories, brethren, this is simply a fact of history. MK Ultra and exploring methods of psychological warfare. That's really what mind control is. It's psychological warfare. And there's no question that the CIA has been involved in this for decades. It's what I think the film The Manchurian Candidate is really getting at. I mean, it's exposing it from the Soviet communist perspective, but we had communists at work in America. Not only that, but our military and intelligence community, knowing that you have this form of warfare out there, they would not ignore it. They would at least explore it, document it, figure out how it works, and how it might be a benefit to the United States. And of course, this is part of the reason why so many people think that the deep state is working against Donald Trump as president. And I think it has not a little bit to do. I mean, there's his policies against globalism. That's one thing. But the fact that Trump, during his campaign, really smashed political correctness. Political correctness is mind control. That's what it is. It's psychological warfare. And while he was running for president, Donald Trump was able to smash and just trample on so many of these different ideas that are consistently thrown at the American people, all the brainwashing and the intimidation and this kind of thing. Political correctness is psychological warfare. It's important that we recognize that. I've said on this show before that all of these accusations of racism and bigotry all the time, that trying to turn everything into racism, this is psychological warfare, especially once you realize that the whole concept of racism does not exist anywhere in history prior to 1901. Nobody anywhere went around talking about so-called racism. It didn't exist. But in the 20th century, it is said to have been developed by communists. I've heard that repeatedly. But you can see it. The only reason anybody believes all this stuff about racism and bigotry and so on is because they put it into the schools. They got into the education system and started brainwashing our young people while very young. When we're watching 19 and 20-year-olds out there shouting and screaming, and they're yelling things like trans lives matter. I mean, just think about the phrase and everything that goes with it. It's completely psychotic. Trans lives matter. And that means you've got to go out there and defend some guy's right to put on a dress and lipstick and go into the girl's bathroom. It's utterly, completely insane. But it's the result of people being brainwashed in our schools to get them to think this way. It's like the deep state has been working and the Marxists have been working to turn our youth into a whole generation of Manchurian candidates. People who are just brainwashed with a false understanding of reality. So they'll go out there and yell and scream and ultimately cooperate with the enemies of our nation in overthrowing what began as a Christian society. You know, I think about Paul the Apostle when he wrote to the Galatians. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 1, he said, "O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth?" Who hath bewitched you? Psychological warfare bewitches a population. That's what I think. All right, brethren, we are out of time. That's going to do it for us today. That is our show. We'll stop it there. But we will be back next time as the Lord leads us. Until then, God bless you guys. I'm Chris Pinto, and you've been listening to Noise of Thunder Radio.